Jesus gave it with meaning so much that he gave his life. And that's what this is about. That his body was broken for us. His blood shed for us for the remission of our sins. And so we remember as we partake of the bread. And of the cup. Thanks be to Christ for the bread of life and the cup of salvation. It's time to take up our offering. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that you've given to us. Most of all, the gift of such a supreme sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. We thank you that he is our resurrected Lord. We seek to give him glory and honor. And we thank you for the gifts you bless us with daily, and that we have the opportunity to give back for your purpose. Be glorified in this. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus' life here on this earth. And you may say, well, isn't this kind of early to be talking about Palm Sunday? But I don't know if you ever stopped to figure this out. But in Matthew, two-fifths of his gospel are about the last week of Jesus' life on this earth. In Mark, three-fifths are about the last week of Jesus' life. In Luke, one-third. And here we are in John, and we're at the last week of Jesus' life, and we still got 9 more chapters. And I think it just shows how important the emphasis that was placed on this last week of Jesus' life. 89 chapters in the 4 Gospels, if you total them up. 4 cover the first 30 years of Jesus' life. 85 cover the last 3 and a half years of Jesus' life. 29, the last week. So you see, we can be in this last week of Jesus' life here on this earth for quite a while, because there is much scripture that we read about this. Now, last week, we had the chief priests. They were so, you know, they've been so mad about the fact that people are following Jesus. And, you know, they've been plotting and talking about when will that time come that they will seize him and they will put him to death. But what we found in the verses that we looked at last week was that they not only wanted to kill Jesus, but they wanted to kill Lazarus. Now, what did Lazarus do? He just rose from the dead. It wasn't his fault. I mean, the guy was dead. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And he rises from the dead. And because of that, people were following Jesus. And they were acknowledging this great miracle. And so these religious leaders, they wanted to kill him. Now, makes me wonder, how did they get so far from their faith? Because these were Jews who obviously had a commitment to their faith. They had acknowledged their faith. Maybe some of them just grew up in it. And maybe it was a belief in God that wasn't personal, but I think probably for many of those who were among the Jews, it was personal with God, but somehow they strayed. Because these are people who would know the commandments of God, like, thou shalt not kill. You know, and all, some of the other commandments would apply here as well. So what they're thinking, we got to get rid of Jesus because he's messing with our religion. And we got to get rid of Lazarus because of him, people, everybody is going that way. So they have drifted so far from that belief that I think they at one time had. So, Jesus rides into town. This is on the 10th day of Nisan. That's not the name of the car manufacturer, and that's not how he rode into town. But it was on this 10th day on the Jewish calendar. This would be the day before the Passover that all Jewish families would find a lamb that was without spot or blemish. And they would identify that lamb. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, the Lamb of God, presents himself on that day as the Lamb of God? Now, he comes into town riding on a donkey. And the people heard, now this is a crowd of people because they're gathering for the Passover. And so they are standing there waving palm branches and shouting, Hosanna, which means save us now. Now, Jesus comes in on a donkey. Well, you know, why a donkey? Well, you know, let me give you just a little history of a donkey. That's a little bit of trivia. You may not have known that donkeys, they live probably about 40 years. Some of them have lived up to 60 years. Not relevant to the story, just a little bit of history about them. Another thing about donkeys, you know, I haven't really verified this, but it's something that I read, that their ear actually keep them cooler. It's almost kind of like a radiator for them because they got these big ears. And because of the big ears, they're supposed to have really phenomenal hearing. So if any of you have bigger ears, you probably can hear better. You know? So anyhow, the donkey, another thing about the donkey, though, is, and I found this interesting. And when I read this, I thought, no, that couldn't have ever been a question that was asked. A question was asked, and it was in a newspaper, and it said that there are more deaths from donkey rides than airline travel. I'm not kidding you. It said that. More deaths from donkey rides than airline travel. And I said, I'm going to Google that and see if that's real. And the question was posed. I don't know if it could be verified, but evidently there are donkey deaths. So be careful if you ride a donkey. You don't want to become a statistic. Now, Jesus riding the donkey, what did it mean? Well, whenever a king would come into a town in peace, he would ride a donkey. Jesus was riding into town in peace. Whenever a king would ride into town on a horse, you better get your fortress locked up. There's going to be a war. And the second time that Jesus comes, Revelation 19 tells us that he will come riding a horse. He's coming as the Lamb of God this first time. He will come as the judge that time. So there was this significance. And then also, it fulfilled the prophecy. You know, in that verse that we read in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the people were there waiting, and they were waving these palm branches and saying, Hosanna, save us now. Now, there's several things that I find that I want to point out from this passage. First of all, Jesus is more appealing than religion. Do you ever stop to think about it? If we say, well, I'm religious, what does that really mean? Because you can be Muslim and be religious. You can be Jewish and be religious. You can be Hindu and be religious. And we used to sing, give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. But what does that really say? You see, religion is not really that appealing. But Jesus is appealing. Now, religions focus on the outward. A bunch of things and rules. And Jesus is about the inward. Now, that's not to say that he doesn't have us do some things that are outward. For example, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And this is something that is a cornerstone of our faith. And this is something that, you know, I love about the early Restoration Movement leaders, that when they left the denominations to say, let's be Christians only, one of the things was, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper, and it will be open to all believers. And it is an outward expression, but it's something that's on the inside. You see, if we don't have anything on the inside, We don't need to do what's the external. Another example that I found in the scriptures is baptism. You know, there's no point in a person being baptized if they don't want a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, that'd be like going in the water as a dry sinner and coming out as a wet sinner. I mean, the whole idea is of surrendering to Christ. So there's the externals, but there's got to be the things on the inside. But religions a lot of time focus on rules. Jesus focuses on relationship. Religions say you work your way to God. Jesus says, I am the way to God. Big difference. So Jesus is more appealing than religion. Secondly, Scripture is more reliable than opinion. Now, everybody's got opinions. You know, you can talk about the Bible, and a person will say, well, my opinion is this, and my opinion is that. I mean, we can all have opinions, but the reality is Scripture is more reliable than our opinion. If you can't back it up with Scripture, then the opinion doesn't really matter. It's not like the Rangoon commercial and you just say, well, it's in there. Well, if it's in there, let's see what it says about it. So our opinions don't matter if they aren't based on the Scripture. Now, Jesus said, as I mentioned a second ago, I am the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, some would say, well, that's very exclusive. It really is. Now, Jesus is about tearing down the walls of man-made religion. But make no mistake, the way to salvation is through none other than Jesus Christ. Now, that may not be what our world is propagating. That may not be what a lot of people want to hear, but it is the truth. Now, Scripture is more reliable than opinion. Now, how many of you love reading instructions when you put something together? You ever buy something that you got to put together? Somebody that's just not, you just don't have the intuition like maybe Mike does, where you can just, oh, okay, well, this is what I need to do. You just start putting it together. I mean, I got to read the instructions. And I get very frustrated with the instructions because, first of all, you got to find the English language.
Yeah.
All right. Then you've got to take a picture of it with your iPad so you can blow it up big enough so that you can read it. You know? And so then sometimes the instructions, they just don't have all the detail that you need. And you're like, well, oh, all right, I get this and I get this, but what happens here? The instructions, a lot of times, do help. What we need to understand about the Scripture, this is our instruction manual. This is what it's about. We find the way to live in this world. We find the way to get out of this world and to be in the presence of Jesus. Scripture is more reliable than opinion. But there's a third thing. Following Jesus is more important than observation. See, there were a lot of observers who were there when Jesus came to town on that donkey. There were the disciples. There were eyewitnesses. You know, they had witnessed all the wonderful things that Jesus had done. There were those who heard from the eyewitnesses of what Jesus had done. And then there were the religious leaders. So there were a lot of people observing as Jesus came to town. But being an observer is not the important thing. Following Jesus is important. You know what the word disciple means? It means follower, learner. That's what we are. Those of us who know Jesus, we are his disciples. We are his followers. We learn about him. And hopefully, you're learning about him every day. I hope this isn't your only spiritual meal for the week, but that you spend time learning about him. Now, there were many who observed. Some followed. And that brings us to this point where I pose the question to you. Are you going to be an observer of Jesus? Are you going to observe where he is needed in this world? Or are you going to be a follower of his and let your life be a part of reaching out and touching others in this world? I said in the observers, there were the eyewitnesses, and then there were those that the eyewitnesses had told of what happened. Maybe there's people that we need to tell what has happened in our lives as Jesus Christ has become our Savior and Lord, that they too can know him. So again, the question, are you going to be an observer? Or are you going to be a follower? That's the question you need to ask. Answer, that is. I ask the question, you answer it. Hymn number 556, Trust and Obey.
Thank you. I'd like to say something.
Okay.
I'd like to give this lady up here at the piano. She's wonderful. She is wonderful.
I knew I was supposed to ask that question. All right. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship. We pray that you've been blessed and glorified by our praise, by our words, by our hearts being lifted to you. And bless us as we leave this place, that we can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name.
Amen.